Well, today your host is Mrs. Know-It-All, the incredible talent of Denise Schreiber, moments away. But if you're the 10th caller right now at 412-922-1020, 10th caller right now wins a $25 gift certificate from the good folks at Sorgles. Now, I thought today, because the official planting season is truly underway, that May 15th day has come and gone, and now it's all in. The weather is getting warmer. So just to kind of give you an idea, she'll take all of your gardening questions today, and they will be a lot of calls coming our way in the next 55 minutes or so. So if you want to get in here, I highly urge you to call now at 866-391-1020. But whatever you're planting, from shrubs, all of the wonderful things in your garden and more, even a few tree questions, we can handle it all because she is Mrs. Know-It-All. So planting, whatever you're doing, if you need help, this is an opportunity to phone in and get the information that you need. Number to dial, 866-391-1020. Mrs. Know-It-All, what a pleasure to have you back for Doug. Good morning. How are you?
I'm awake.
You are awake. So is it fact or fiction that by the time May 15th rolls around, once May 15th has come and gone, that means it's ready, set, go as far as planting is concerned?
Actually, our true frost date is the end of May, May 30th. However, with climate change, we are usually pretty safe anytime after Mother's Day. However, I can tell you, a few years ago, we got a frost Memorial Day weekend that was like 28 degrees, and it killed a bunch of plants. So you have to kind of be prepared because, you know, look, we're going to be almost 90 today, and we're going to be, you know, 65 tomorrow. So we've got those wild swings going on yet, you know. So you've got to be prepared. If you got to go out and cover something, or we may not have rain for a week, you have to be prepared to go out and water. I've had people tell me, oh, I plant trees, but I never water them. And then they wonder why they're dead at the end of the year.
So when is the best time to water? Is it in the morning?
It depends. Obviously, if we've had rain the night before, you don't need to water. But morning is best, but your plants won't die if the only time you have to water is in the evening after you get home from work, you know, after dinner, whatever. It's okay. The trick is water the ground. Don't do what I call magic wand watering, where you see people out here yard with the hose, and they're just kind of going back and forth with the water and getting it on the leaves. The leaves can only absorb a little bit of water, the same with fertilization, which is why you should always water at the base of the plant, you know, get those roots really hydrated.
So if you have a question for Mrs. Know-It-All, now would be the time to call in. And we're talking about planting, just about anything today. Whatever you need in the way of a gardening question, call us, 866-391-1020. So yesterday on the Home Improvement Show, we were talking about pruning. And I said I had to ask you this question because you are Mrs. Know-It-All. When is the best time to prune? Yeah, when's the best time to prune?
Usually for trees and shrubs, it's usually midwinter. So December, January, because, you know, we all want to just be outside all the time doing that. There are a few things that you want to wait a little bit more for. Grapes, for instance, should really be pruned in late February, early March. Ornamental grasses, when we get that little worm spell that we always seem to get somewhere between January and March, we get that little worm spell. Go out and whack those grasses back. I see people that leave them up and then start cutting after they've got all the new growth. Now, as far as other plants, you want to look at, was there damage? You know, have you got a cross branch? Is something broken? Then you can go out and cut, you know, but you don't want to do major pruning at that time. You know, I know people go out and prune their tomatoes. Don't people say, oh, you know, my grandmother always did that. Well, you know, we have different varieties of tomatoes than grandma did. You know, even if you're growing heirlooms, there were different heirlooms that people were growing back then. So that time you can actually, you know, leave them alone. You know, you can do broccoli. It's a good example. You cut the main stalk. And that's considered pruning, actually. If you've got those side shoots that come up. So, obviously, it doesn't matter that, you know, the time of year to cut. You know, zinnias. If you grow the old-fashioned zinnias, which I love because there's so many colors, you're great as a cut flower. You can go in, and I actually like when they're about 4 inches tall, I actually go in and cut the main stem, and it encourages branching, and you get lots more flowers, and you can just keep cutting, and they'll just keep blooming until frost.
I want to talk a little bit about planting trees. Advice when it comes to trees, large and small. How do you go about it this time of year, or do you go about it this time of year, Mrs. Know-It-All?
I had to have a couple of trees taken out about a month ago. And, you know, because you've got to be on the schedule to get a tree cut. You know, it's just not like, come tomorrow and cut the tree. So I have already had it stump ground, and I actually ordered a tree for that area. So, but mine is literally right next to the hose bib. Plus, I keep soaker hoses in my beds, so I'll be able to water. It's actually a Dragon Lady Holly, which I'm really excited about. But you really want to wait. You know, we're kind of past the season with these crazy temperatures we're having. You want to wait until September. There's a couple of trees that you don't want to plant in September. Dogwoods are one of them. Japanese maples are another. They just don't have enough time to push out enough roots to get them through the winter. Other trees, you know, evergreens is a great time to plant in the fall because of their waxy coating on their needles. You know, they can withstand, you know, the winter wind, the snow, or whatever else comes along. You know, but the trick is, even if you plant in the fall, you still got to water. You have to water until there's a hard freeze, not a frost, a freeze, you know, because they still need to be hydrated to get them through the winter.
All right, Mrs. Know-It-All is in today for Doug. If you have a gardening question, anything that has to do with the wonderful world outdoors, you need to call us. We're going to talk to Gloria in Mercer County in just a couple of moments, KDK Radio, but we invite you to get in here while you can because the phones will fill up as they always do when she is pinch hitting for Doug. And we have her till 8 o'clock, so we're going to come back, spend the next three segments just giving you a chance to pick the brain of truly one of the best, Mrs. Know-It-All, who is here today. And, of course, every other Sunday you hear her when Davey Trees is not here, taking all of the information and getting it out there to us to help us, you know, do better as far as in the outdoors is concerned. But if you have a question for her right now, number is 866-391-1020. It is Doug Oster, DougOster.com, to follow him throughout the week. Doug is off today, and next Sunday, Steve Rapaski will be here next Sunday. But today, we're very excited to have Mrs. Know-It-All all to ourselves up until 8 a.m., so call us, 866-391-1020. We have lines available, and we'll be back to take your phone calls on The Organic Gardener with Mrs. Know-It-All, Denise Schreiber, filling in today for Doug Oster on KDKA. All right, back with Mrs. Know-It-All for Doug Oster, who is off the next couple of weeks. Next week, it's Steve Rapaski. If you have a question for her, now's the time to call. She can answer anything your little gardening heart desires. 866-391-1020. Gloria, you're on KDK. Thanks for holding on. Good morning.
Sure. What I'm calling about is I'm getting older, so I'm looking for perennials for cemeteries because of the restrictions on size. You know, like 12 inches wide and you're doing with single or double headstones, and I don't want to get some kind of something that's going to get real high and obscure the names and stuff. So I'm looking for suggestions that would be, you know, long-lived also.
Okay, well, perennials, there's only a few that really live forever, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think 3 to 4 years is a good time. And right off the bat, I'm thinking salvia. Nemoroso, the perennial salvia, will work okay. Very well for you.
Okay.
There's, what's your limit as far as the height?
Well, it varies. You know, it might be a foot. It might be a foot and a half. I had thought about coral bells, but I worry about those clumps. You know, I don't know how high they get.
Well, coral bells is fine. You probably want to get a lighter colored leaf for them. But, you know, there's plants that do come back every year. And, you know, obviously you want to get ones that fits a cemetery. I'm sure there's deer. You know, you have to kind of go with that.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't thinking about hostas because I figured it's going to be deer.
Yeah. Now, there are some shorter Shasta daisies. And the deer usually leave them alone. Here again,
when we say the deer will leave them alone. When I was working, what I would plant in South Park, the deer would absolutely gnaw to the ground in North Park. So it's also kind of a herd thing as well, although there's obviously the ones that are always there. There's the arrow, Achillea. There's some shorter versions of that. And
what was that, yarrow?
Pretty much yarrow.
Okay.
And the deer want that. There's also a Porosia, a Russian sage called Denman Lace. And there's another one called Stephanie's, something, and I should know, it was named after a friend of mine. And it stays fairly low. They're both deer resistant, and they should bloom. They have a longer bloom time than a lot of perennials, but also the salvia. There are shorter ornamental grasses if you're interested in that. I realize that doesn't give you the color that you want, but the salvias would be your best bet.
Best bet.
They would bloom pretty much spring to fall.
Okay. Well, any particular version of salvia?
Well, there's cat's pajamas, which I have growing, and that blooms pretty much all summer. There's probably a book on salvia that has like 400 on them.
Wow.
But the cat's pajamas is one that I know, will keep blooming. It is perennial, and you would be good with that. And it's blue. And, if you want to periodically, when I don't know how often you go to the cemetery, you may want to just give it a little haircut. Lavender would be something else. It would bloom in the spring, and you would have those spring blooms for a good while. And then if you go back in and just give all the dead blooms a haircut, mm-hmm. you'll get a rebloom in the fall.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Hopefully that'll help you. It's always tricky trying to fit in, to a certain parameter. Where my parents are buried, you're not allowed to put plants at all because they're the flat headstones and they just mow right over everything.
Oh. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Oh, thank Bye. You, Glad. Thanks for calling.
All right, George, you're on KDK. Hey, George.
Bonjour, folks. I don't have half of the green thumb my dear Greek Yaya did years ago. But I planted a couple of 25 years ago, two red maple trees, and I'll impress you here. Acer rubrum, is that correct? Genus species with them. One was a fern, which I didn't know. Looked more like a fern, a veil type of a leaf. Didn't get real tall, and it didn't last. The other one, and I remember Mr. Oster saying either 2 years ago or last year, there was a blight that was affecting the red maples. Was that correct?
Yeah,
are you aware of that at all?
It's not necessarily a blight. It is a bait. All plants get a disease. Let's just start with
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, it seems to
there's,
come out of it very well, and it's really, really flourishing. Have you heard any comments on that plant by anyone?
No, it's a great plant. You'll see it used. A lot of landscape architects like to use it. So you'll see it in, parks, stadiums, that sort of thing. There's always something that attacks the plant. It just depends on the plant. But there's nothing ongoing that's attacking red maples at all. The key is keep them watered. Make sure they have good air circulation. Don't hit them with the mower or the weed whacker. And don't dig around the roots. I know a lot of people like to dig around the base of a tree and plant flowers or whatever. That's really not a good idea because it can actually damage the tree roots, and then it causes stress for the tree, and then if there's an insect or a disease going around, the tree becomes more susceptible to it.
All right, let's keep it going. John, you're up next for Mrs. Know-It-All in for Doug Oster today, the organic gardener, KDKA. Hi, John.
Hello. Mrs. Know-It-All, about 3 or 4 weeks ago on Doug's show, you mentioned your three favorite tomato plants this year. Could you repeat those, please?
Okay, you're asking me to go back to my memory. One is Whopper, which I get from Park Seed. Another
Whopper.
One, Whopper, like, somebody told a Whopper of a story.
Okay. Is that a beefsteak?
The other is, it is not a beefsteak per se. It is a eating tomato, mid-season, kind of goes, it's not huge, but it's not a small tomato either. So, you know, Delicious is another one, and that is a beefsteak type. And that actually is an heirloom, and you can actually save the seed from that. Whopper is a hybrid. It was originally developed by Park Seed for the 50th anniversary of organic gardening. And for a while, the name was OG50, you know, to honor Organic Gardening, the magazine. The other is San Marzano Redorta. So there are San Marzano tomatoes, which are typically around four to 5 ounces of a tomato. San Marzano Redorta is in the 6 to 8 ounce range. And I get that from a company called Seeds from Italy. I buy that those seeds from them.
The beefsteak you mentioned, is there a specific name to it?
It's called Delicious. That's actually the name.
Okay. And I have one last question.
Sure.
What about Goliath beefsteaks? What do you know about those?
I've never grown them. Sometimes, depending on the seed company, there's one called Mortgage Lifter. It can be called, it very well could be Goliath. Since I've never grown it, I can't really compare it. But, you know, depending on the company that owns the seed, they can name it whatever they want.
I understand. Just like a kid, right? Like your child, you can name it whatever you want.
And that's right. Doesn't mean the teacher's not going to call them something else or their buddies aren't going to call them something else.
All right. We're going to get a break in here. Good stuff. Lots of room, though, for you on the phone lines. Took care of some good calls here in the second segment. And we're going to talk to Donna in Wilkinsburg right after the news at the bottom of the hour with Andrew Lindberg. So if you have a question for Mrs. Know-It-All, you should start dialing right now at 866-391-1020. Plus, we have that $25 gift certificate from Janowski's in Clinton, Pennsylvania. They're going to be opening shortly for this Sunday in just a couple of moments. And don't forget, today between 8 and 9, right after local news with Andrew Lindberg, we're going to bring you the Coons Cooking Hour. And today, it's the great protein that you find on the grocery shelves at Coons Markets. Lima beans, kidney beans, baked beans, green beans, everything that has to do with green beans. So we have lots more still to come today on Rob Pratt Sunday on KDKA 100.1 FM, AM 1020. Good morning. All right, Doug is off the next couple of weeks. Next week, it's Steve Rapaski. We'll be talking the buzz that is the bees. And, of course, today it is Mrs. Know-It-All. And the phones are full, so let's get right back to work for Denise Schreiber, and we'll say hi to Donna. Donna, you're on KDK with Mrs. Know-It-All. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hi, Donna.
I'm doing fine, and I'm interested in avoiding tick bites while gardening. And I wondered if you have any advice for me on how to do that.
Well, the one thing is, you know, I have a right-of-way behind my house, and so there's some trees back there, and then there's the trees in my own yard. So in the fall, I get a big clump of them, so to speak, laying there. We try to rake them up. I know the thought is, you know, leave the leaves, that there's beneficial insects that, you know, are going to winter over there. I can't do that, you know, between myself, the dog, my grandson, you know, we all want to avoid those tick bites. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you really want to do that, I would suggest mowing your leaves as soon as you can. If you have really thick, heavy leaves, like from a magnolia or something like that, you want to actually, you know, rake them up into a pile and then try to mow them that way. I would keep my areas that I walk in a lot, I would keep them cut low. As far as your garden, you should be fine. You should be fine. Of course, you can always have tick bites there. You can, if you are growing barberry, rip it out, because scientists have found that it provides the perfect winter home for ticks. And what happens is you collect all the leaves, candy wrappers, whatever bit of garbage blows around, gets caught in there, and it ends up at the base of the plant. And it actually provides the perfect humidity for ticks to overwinter. Obviously, deer carry some ticks, you know, but also groundhogs, skunks, chipmunks, squirrels, you name it, they've all got ticks on them. So you have to be careful about that. If you are going to be out there for any length of time, wear long pants. Tuck your pant legs inside a pair of socks. Use, there's any number of spray repellents. There's one that I use. Actually, it's for the yard. It's not for using. Called Tick Be Gone. You would have to order that online. I've never seen it in the store. So those are just some of the things that the repellents. And then always check yourself, you know, or have somebody check you to make sure you don't have any ticks on you. Sometimes you don't even realize it, and you'll just have to look down and find one on your arm, you know, for no reason. So you want to get them off before they actually start to embed themselves into your skin. I hope that helps. But here's one thing. Some of the botanicals claim that they work. Not always. So I am always reluctant to use something like that because I just don't want to take a chance because Lyme disease is terrible. And I have friends that have suffered with it for years because they got bit and didn't realize it.
Okay.
Do you have any literature that you could recommend that I read about this?
Actually, if you go on Penn State Extension's website, they have a lot of information right there about preventing tick bites and just ticks in general and, you know, where you're likely to find them. So I don't have any printed material at all on it, you know, but Penn State has a wonderful, their extension has, you know, a lot of information about preventing tick bites, where you're going to find them, what to do if you do get bit by a tick bite. And if you do get bit by a tick, the first thing you need to do is call your doctor. Don't wait. Just go. We'll put you on an antibiotic for a few days, and that's better than Lyme disease.
All right, Donna, thanks for the call. Listen, we're going to take the 10th caller right now to win that Janoski's gift certificate. They're opening shortly for this Sunday morning, Route 30, of course, in Clinton, Pennsylvania. So if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you are going to win that $25 gift certificate from Janoski's in Clinton. All right, we're going to come up with that PGA Championship update report in just about a minute, but I want to remind you, Mrs. Know-It-All is here until 8 o'clock. She's in today for Doug, and Doug is off the next couple of weeks. Steve Rapaski will be here next week. But today, if you have a question for us, it's been a very busy hour, grab one of these available lines and step up. We'd love to get you on the air to get that question in for Denise. And again, Denise, what's the best way for people to stay in touch with what you're doing or even contact you? Go ahead.
Well, they can get me a couple of ways. Mrs. Know-It-All on Facebook. You know, I always post stuff there. Plus, you know, you can just come and ask me questions there. If they're interested in having me speak to a group or something, my email address is edibleflowers, that's plural, the number one, at AOL.com. I just did a garden visit beginning of this week, actually, for a lady who was having issues with all sorts of things.
All right, so Mrs. Know-It-All will come out and speak and help, and she's always there if you need her on Facebook as well, too. All right, PGA Championship update, then back with much more of The Organic Gardener. Doug Oster off. It's Mrs. Know-It-All spending the 7 a.m. hour on Rob Pratt Sunday, KDK Radio. All right, it's good time. This is Know-It-All here today. Denise Schreiber pinch hitting for Doug, who is off for the next couple of weeks. Next week, it'll be a Steve Rapaski in studio with me taking your phone calls. But right now, let's say hi to Kurt in Harmony for Mrs. Know-It-All, Denise Schreiber, the Organic Gardener, KDK Radio. Good morning, Kurt.
Morning, everybody. Hey, morning. My question is, I talked to Doug at the home show, and I asked him about my apples. They just look bad. And he suggested using a fungicide, and I got some, and it's organic, and how often should I spray that?
What did the label say?
It's by a company called Bonide, and it just says to mix it up and spray it.
Okay. So, is it the copper-based fungicide?
No.
Do you know when...
Not really. I mean, it just says to spray it, and I'm just curious, should I spray it once? Should I spray it once a month? You know, I'm just not sure.
It'd be easier if we knew exactly which one it was, because they do make several fungicides.
Right.
Typically, right. I'm going to go with it's the liquid copper, just okay. because, you know, that's one of their bigger products. excuse me. That kind of came out of nowhere. So, you know, usually it says once every 7 to 10 days.
Okay.
You know, on your leaves or the apples. Here again, without knowing exactly which one. Now, I can tell you that if you Google, you know, get the bottle and put the name and Google it and put on either the label or the MSDS sheet. So that's Mother okay. Sam Denise Schreiber. How's that?
All right, Kurt, thanks.
And there'll be a lot of information on that for it.
Let's get one more call in here. Let's say hi to Dan. You're on KDK for Mrs. Know-It-All, the Organic Gardener. Hi, Dan.
Hi, guys. Hi, Mrs. Know-It-All. I enjoy listening to you. I have teddy bear sunflower seeds, those miniature sunflowers. I want to know, is it too late to plant the seeds in the ground for them to bloom for this year?
Well, I got to tell you, now I grow because of my landscaping situation. I plant mine in containers, but I got to tell you, I planted them this week. So it really isn't too late. What you want to do is actually make sure the soil's real friable, loose. Put the seed in, water it, keep it watered, and keep the deer from eating it.
What's that again?
You can put, you want this, the soil to be loose.
Okay.
And, okay,
so I'm in good shape for them to bloom this year, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Have a great day, guys.
You too.
All right, Mrs. Know-It-All, let me just give you the final few minutes to wrap up. What's on your mind? You've been nice to our caller, so I'm going to give you a couple of moments to do what you do, talk gardening. Go ahead.
Okay, well, a couple things. Let's talk about green beans, because a lot of people like to grow them. I grow them in my garden, but I grow pole beans, and I always used to grow bush beans, and I'm like, but I always had to bend over. You know, there's more than a few of us that have back issues, and so I started growing, you know, the pole beans, and they're so much easier to harvest, and I get a better crop because when your beans start to produce, you want to keep picking them to keep them producing until it's time to rip them out of the garden. So I grow one called Emerite. That's E-M-E-R-I-T-E. And it is what they call a hair couvert. It's a French green bean, very thin, not stringy, long, heavy producer. And, you know, so we just go out. I probably harvested, I don't know, 15 pounds last year easily, plus what we used fresh. So, you know, that's a really great plant. You know, I used to grow the Romas, you know, but here again, I was always bending over. The leaves would hide whether they were beans or not and everything. So that is actually why I switched to pole beans. Something else I wanted to bring up, and I know I'm going to make some people crazy here, but I usually make people crazy anyhow, is I was listening to a podcast the other day with Carol Reese, who is an extension agent with the University of Tennessee. She's from Mississippi, so she's got that great accent. But she was talking about native plants, and as research goes on, they're finding that, you know, it's always said you have to grow the native milkweed for the monarch. But they did a study, and they took, there's several different types of milkweed, and they kind of ground them all up and made a slurry of them, and the monarch still fed on them. It didn't matter whether they were the native ones or the what we call a nativar. They actually did it. A lot of the people that have to plant natives, yes, it's nice to plant natives. It's good. It helps provide a continuation of the seed bank. But also, a lot of the hybrids provide just as much nutrition to pollinators, not just butterflies, but bees, the native wasps, even flies. Heaven forbid we want to produce flies, but we actually do need them for pollination. So it's something to look at that you don't have to feel guilty or have somebody make you feel guilty about if you're growing, a hybrid or if you're growing flowers. And people, not all natives look good. And a lot of natives are susceptible to some diseases, which is why people started breeding them to breed disease resistance into them. And sometimes it's for flower color. Sometimes it's more fruit production. So I know I'm going to make people crazy about that, but you just can't, because we talk about a monoculture a lot, and having all the natives, you still is almost like having a monoculture, because you're not providing other food or nesting for, our local flora and fauna.
Mrs. Know-It-All, great job today. We'll do it again real soon, and obviously every other week with Doug. But we appreciate the hour. Lots of response. People do appreciate what you do, as we all do. I hope you have a great rest of your day and a good week, okay?
They like me better than Doug. You have a good one, Rob.
All right. The great Denise Schreiber. They do love her. I'm telling you. She really is so respected in the world of gardening. And